grace and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A few words on the gospel text, especially words, "You must forgive them," and the disciples' response, "Lord, increase our faith." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, my dear friends, few of us, even the very macho, really like snakes. Fewer still ignore them. The presence of a poisonous reptile really gets our eyes open. In no way can we ignore it. If we see that reptile coiled and prepared to strike a loved one, we take decisive action immediately. We shout, we throw things, we hack away with the nearest sharp object, anything but ignore the poisonous reptile. Concern for the loved one throws us into high gear immediately. How similar a situation exists when a brother or sister is involved in unrepented and therefore unforgiven sin. We who are our brothers and sisters' keepers dare not ignore this danger to their spiritual health. How ridiculous for you and I to wink at the nearest person and say something cute about one's sowing one's wild oats. Sin offends God. Continued, unrepented, therefore unforgiven sin destroys a person's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and costs them an eternity in heaven. This sin is worse than the bite of a snake. Some snake bites are survivable, but no one, underline, no one survives the bite of unrepented and unforgiven sin. For this reason, we cannot ignore its commission. When we discover our brother or our sister involved in this kind of sin, our minds are filled with a million different thoughts, and most of them are pharisaical in nature. Well, look at what good old so-and-so is involved in. I hope his wife doesn't hear about this. And if the faculty gets wind of this, wow. Maybe he'll wake up someday to the error of his ways. But somebody should talk to him before he gets into real trouble. Why does it take me so long? And why does it take you so long, I would assume as well, to realize that we need to minister to the brother or sister in sin? Maybe we think we'll be rebuffed. Maybe we envision our friendship going down the tubes. Or worse yet, maybe we think we'd better keep shut, because it might very well be us next time. We know we'd want no one calling us down or preaching to us about our sin when we've tried so desperately to hide it from everybody involved. And so we keep shut most of the time. But I ask you, is that the way to love your brother or sister? If they're unrepented sin will cost them salvation? Are we really being kind by not speaking to them in love about it? Can't we hear God's command in those words of our text to rebuke him or rebuke her in love? And if we finally do this loving rebuking, do we know the real aim of it? Our rebuke is not aimed at shaming them, or at raising our self-image by comparison. Our chief and only concern is that of caring for the spiritual welfare of the brother. An example will suffice. The recent case that we all have on our minds so much of the time, that of a seminary graduate who took his wife's life in anger, this serves as an example of spiritual concern. When the brother pastor went to this minister behind bars, his mind was full of so many kinds of thoughts, things that wanted to be said, but one stood out in the fore. Before all the rest, this man must be led to repentance and must have the opportunity to confess his sins and must hear God's absolution. All thoughts of, look at what you've done. All thoughts of, what have you done to the office of the ministry, had to be laid aside. That minister had to mind the spiritual care of his brother. He had to aim at repentance, that the brother be saved. And we must aim at repentance, that the brother or sister be saved. So, suppose you do heed God's command. You work up the nerve finally. You come to the brother or sister and confront this person. And this person can see the error of his or her ways and begins to repent. What then? In far too many cases, we use that tender moment when the person's heart is laid bare pour in the salt. Stinging rebuke is mixed with the words of forgiveness. And the one who receives this stinging rebuke over his sin certainly learns to hide his sins more carefully the next time. God forbid that you and I should get in the way of the Holy Spirit in this matter. Instead, when that person's heart is laid bare, when they are truly confessing their sins, there's only one thing to do, and we know what it is. Speak God's absolution. It matters not at all if you are clergy or layman. Speak the words of forgiveness from God with no conditions, no reincriminations, no threats that this might just be the last time. Speak forgiveness from God to their wide open hearts. You know, Martin Luther loved to say that this is the greatest and most blessed function of the priesthood of all believers, this delivering a brother or a sister from his sin by leading them to repentance and giving them God's pardon to relieve their tender conscience. There is no higher privilege than to be God's spokesman at this tender moment in a person's life. We announce God's forgiveness to them. What a joy and privilege. What about the case of our text, where the sins are directed against you? What then? The Lord told the apostles to forgive 7 times. Their response spoke volumes. Lord, increase our faith. It is difficult to forgive personal affront that comes our way. But if you and I will simply look at the cross and envision there a Savior who died for all of our oft-repeated sins, we have all the encouragement we need to forgive our brother or our sister. Forgive repeated sins, keeping in mind this fact, that the essential pardon comes from God and not from you. Your pardon will do little to this person in time or eternity, but the pardon of God is essential if they are to live in paradise with all the rest of us forgiven sinners. The forgiving of the brother or sister is a mutual ministry then. Those in a life raft know Their fate is tied together. Ours is too. Let's be frank. When I care for the spiritual need of any one of you, and you in turn care for my spiritual need, we are both being cared for. But if I ignore your need, and you ignore mine, we both come up empty. I am your keeper. You are my keeper. If we serve God by this serving each other, God will be glorified, and we Christians will in truth be acting like the body of Christ that we in actuality are. May God grant this very thing for the sake of Jesus. Amen.